Hey Health Junkies, Dr. Krause here. Just wanted to jump in and let you know about a new feature that I'm adding to the podcast. It's the ability to ask me questions. I've had a ton of folks tell me that they would love for me to cover their questions on the podcast, so I'm going to do it. So each week I will be adding a couple of questions that I'm going to answer to each of the podcasts. And if it's a juicy enough question, I just may dedicate a whole podcast to it. So if you're interested in asking a question, head on over to my website at drjkrausend.com. Check out a blue button on the right-hand side that says Ask a Podcast Question. Hit me up there. Or you can also access the button through my podcast notes also on my website. So head on over there, ask me some questions. I look forward to answering them soon. All right, let's get on with the podcast.
Hey, health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Jeanine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Jeanine Krause, and today's episode is going to be all about nausea. So it's a common thing that folks come into my office with, having nausea in the morning, having nausea all day, and it's preventing them from being able to eat, or it's kind of provoking them to make health choices that aren't really good for them. Because of course, when we feel nauseous, we don't really want to eat, but we tell ourselves we've got to eat something. And usually that something ends up being junk food of some sort, some comfort food. So today I'm going to talk a lot about nausea in the morning, not related to pregnancy, just being nauseous in the morning, because it is such a common complaint in my office that I feel like it needs to be talked about, because a lot of folks are really confused as to why they're feeling that way. And there's some pretty simple fixes that are causing it. You just have to go back and sleuth it out a little bit as to what you're doing in your nighttime routine. Because for many of us, we are getting home late from work, we're overeating, then going right to bed. And unfortunately, that can cause acid reflux. It can also cause food sensitivities over time because of the inflammation in the digestive system and the esophagus. And these can be really big issues, because the more inflamed our digestive system is, the more inflamed our sinuses become. Which sounds kind of crazy. How does that even happen? Well, the more the food refluxes up, the more histamine produced, the more that we end up with mucus production. So if you're waking up nauseous and your eyes are puffy and your nose is all stuffed up, well, it could all be connected. So today we're going to talk about that and why these things are happening and what to do about it. And of course, I'm going to give a quick tip, something you can do really quick when you're feeling nauseous, and what to do about that. So let's talk a little bit about this concept of what's happening at night, this overeating and eating too close to bedtime. So our stomach has to have time to empty, right? And if we eat pure carbohydrates, so that would be things like cereal, bread, crackers, Cheetos for that matter, those kind of things, that's what we're eating for dinner, popcorn, and I'll be honest, that's been a dinner for me a couple times when I've been super stressed. If we're eating these pure carbohydrate meals for dinner, well, our stomach will empty within 30 minutes to an hour at the most, but it's going to cause a spike in blood sugar. That's going to cause a reactive drop, and I'll talk about that in a second. Now, if we eat foods that are heavy, like things with higher amounts of fats or things with higher amounts of protein in them, it could take 3 to 5 hours for that stomach to empty. But imagine, you know, you're going to bed at, say, 10, 11 o'clock at night. You ate dinner at 9 because you got home late, and you quick go lay down, get in bed. Well, all that food that's sitting in there and you're laying down, that puts some pressure on your lower esophageal sphincter, which is what keeps food in the stomach once it's got into the stomach. But if that pressure is pushing on that valve, you're going to have food coming up the esophagus, which is otherwise known as acid reflux. It's kind of like a bottle of soda that's been shaken up and then laid flat.
well, it's going to try to burst out of there. You open up that cap, well, it's going to come out. You open up the valve in the stomach, and up goes that food refluxing. And some of us can feel it and have pain with it, known as heartburn. But some people have what's known as silent reflux, where we don't feel the pain. We just end up with getting a stuffy nose. We end up with puffy eyes. Another biggie of this is difficulty swallowing in the morning. And this has happened to me, actually, quite a few times before I figured out that dairy and gluten are really not my friends. Dang it. But what will happen is if you have so much acid reflux overnight going up into the esophagus and getting up into your throat, you have histamines that are released. The histamines are going to bring mucus, and then you're going to end up with a swollen tissue. And so try to swallow when your esophagus is swollen. Well, it makes it difficult. So if that's happened to you, these are possible reasons for why. Now, I've mentioned in other podcasts about the digestive system that there is a certain time for when the digestive system is strongest for helping you to digest food. And in particular, in the Chinese world, the stomach is strongest between 5 and 7 p.m. But after 7 p.m., if you eat consistently late, you're actually weakening your digestive system. Now, this might sound like a bunch of hocus pocus, but I have to be honest, in my practice and in my own life, when I have not had any food after 7 p.m., I do a heck of a lot better. My eyes don't puff. I am not having headaches in the morning. I'm not nauseous in the morning. It makes a huge difference. So I challenge you to try this out. And one of my big things about anybody who has nausea in the morning is I make them do food journals because it's important to know what's going in at night and the correlation to what happens the next morning. Now, one of the other ways that could be a hack or a way to get around this is sometimes I will suspect that folks have food sensitivities. And especially with puffy eyes, swollen throat, things of that nature, it's not always acid reflux. It can be a food sensitivity. Alcat is my favorite way to go about testing food sensitivities. I do have the link to that, alcat.com, in my resource pages at drjkrausnd.com. So if you're wanting to know, what is that company again that she said to look at? Alcat. And the reason being for Alcat is because they test white blood cells, and they're looking under a microscope what happens when you introduce your body, so you introduce your white blood cells to a particular food. So they're looking at the actual immune system reaction versus something called a glutenation reaction, where you put your blood in a bunch of little wells and then they drop the food in there and they look for the blood to get sticky. That's one reaction, but I like the white blood cells. It's more accurate. And there's a lot of great research coming out on the Alcat testing in particular and its accuracy. So something to think about, because a lot of folks are skeptical about the food sensitivity testing in general. But there you have it. So another big issue that goes along with having nausea in the morning can be skipping dinner altogether. Now, I know it's popular for some folks to do intermittent fasting, but it can actually cause trouble for you because your blood sugar can be dropping so low. And I'll see this happen with a lot of folks who are doing ketosis-style diets where they're not eating very many carbs all day and they're exercising, and then they are stressed out and they've got all kinds of other things going on in life, and then they skip dinner. Well, what's happening overnight to keep your blood sugar up, just naturally, every single one of us, our muscles are releasing glycogen. So your liver and your muscles release glycogen overnight to help keep your blood sugar stable. Well, if you've just started a ketosis diet, you're exercising, and you're doing intermittent fasting and skipping dinner, well, guess what happens? You mess with your blood sugar a little bit until your body can figure out how to use fat for fuel. And so oftentimes getting started with a ketosis diet can cause some trouble with blood sugar. Now, for other folks who are not doing a ketosis diet, but they are eating carbs, but just not eating enough food in general during the day, you could be on a blood sugar roller coaster. And in the morning, you might be experiencing some pretty significant blood sugar lows and you're legitimately hungry, because extreme hunger can create nausea as well. And so this is an interesting concept, but something to keep in mind. So highly recommend having good quality carbs at night for anybody who's stressed out. I think, unfortunately, we've been, especially women, males, guys, you can deal with blood sugar balance a little bit better than us ladies. We just seem to have some more intricate issues that happen in our metabolism if we are not getting carbohydrates at night. And I'm not talking about binging on carbs, because binging on carbs overnight can cause a huge issue. And by that, I mean eating a big bowl of ice cream after you just ate pasta for dinner. That's a lot of carbs, and that spikes the blood sugar and drops it drastically. And you might be waking up at the time when your blood sugar is dropping off drastically and becoming nauseous. I've had a couple people talk to me about waking up 3-4 in the morning being extremely nauseous when they normally wake up at 6, and this could be that blood sugar dropping so low. Same thing goes along the lines of eating carbs at dinner, and I'm not beating up on Italian food, but Italian food, Mexican food tend to be the ones that are connected with most blood sugar imbalances for folks. Because let's face it, Italian food, when you're older, you're like, yes, I need my glass of wine with that Italian food. Well, that one glass of wine might turn into 3 glasses of wine. And now we've got a little bit of issues with blood sugar, but also could be some acid reflux involved. But nevertheless, the amount of carbs that you have at night directly plays into how you feel in the morning. Absolutely. Irregardless of being diabetic. I'm not even talking about that, which for some people, I do recommend getting your blood sugar tested 2 hours after dinner. So you could poke your finger and test it and then doing it again in the morning. But at this point, I'm just talking food. I don't want to make this podcast more complicated than it needs to be. So those can be some pretty significant issues for folks, especially dependent on how much alcohol you drink overnight. Obviously, there's hangover nausea, but for some of us who regularly are drinking 1 to 2 glasses of wine, say, or a beer or a mixed drink a night, it could be playing into your acid reflux. It could be playing into your nausea in the morning. It could be causing both. So that's why I love to have folks do a food journal, because you might be surprised, you know, just seeing out in front of you, oh, I probably shouldn't be eating my cucumber tomato salad and drinking my glass of wine at night, because now we've got the tomato being a food that provokes acid reflux. In fact, tomatoes, citrus, mint, coffee, alcohol, black tea, that can also be a biggie. In this case, most people aren't drinking that at night, but you know, I've seen people drink coffee and go straight to bed, so there you have it. Coffee after dinner, another big thing to think about. I see that a lot when you go out to eat. So these can be certain factors that are well worth investigating. Pepper, spicy food, also acid reflux foods. So going back to Italian food, Mexican food, Thai food, it's like a lot of our indulgences of going out to eat can be directly related to nausea in the morning as well, especially if we go out to eat, we have leftovers, and the next night we've got that food, and then we just keep going with certain things dependent on how much you're eating out overnight. Big things to think about. So we have that. Now, let's talk about a little bit more in terms of liquids. So I talked about alcohol. Obviously, can be a acid reflux factor, but alcohol dehydrates you. And if you haven't been drinking a lot of water throughout the day, and then you come home for dinner, you eat, you drink alcohol, you eat, you know, maybe you just had protein and veggies for dinner, but you had like 2 glasses of wine. Well, guess what? And if you didn't have any water to counteract that alcohol, you could be waking up dehydrated. And dehydration is another common cause for nausea. Same thing goes along the line of missing out on electrolytes. So your electrolyte balance. I have found that a lot of folks wake up in the morning with headaches and nausea, and it's because of dehydration and electrolyte imbalance. The more stressed out you are, the more you need to balance your electrolytes. Same thing goes for anybody who's working out in the evening and then going having dinner and then just can't quit that alcohol before bed. Keep that in mind. So you want to be drinking half your weight in ounces of water a day. So say you weighed 150 pounds, divide that in half, you're looking at 75 ounces of water a day. So do the math and see if you're getting that. Now, I also recommend adding in an electrolyte drink during the day. There are a ton of different products out there on the market. I'm not going to specifically include one because I found the best ones to be a little bit of lemon or lime. So squeezing a quarter of a lemon or lime in 8 ounces of water with like 2 to 3 grains of sea salt, a little bit like a drop or two of honey, and just mixing that up. That's a great electrolyte drink. It's simple and it doesn't have all the stevia and junk in terms of other things out there. Now, if you're looking for something on the go, I like Noon, N-U-U-N tabs, but I really recommend trying to just make your own little homemade electrolyte drink. It's almost like a virgin margarita of sorts when I make my little one. So there you have it. I'll put that recipe in the resources at drjkrausnd.com in case you are wanting that. Now, the other biggie is it's really popular right now to do the ketosis-based diets, so fat-burning diets. And a lot of times folks that are doing those, like I mentioned before, until your body shifts to knowing that it needs to use fat for fuel. And by the way, that can take up to 2 weeks to a month for folks, depending on where you're at metabolically. So it's not like your body just shifts in one day from carbs to fat burning. And especially if you're an athlete, it takes longer because of adjustments metabolically to the exercises and things of that nature. But point being said, you need salt if you are on a ketosis-based diet. So you're going to want to make sure that you're salting your food possibly a little bit extra. And I know this sounds crazy, and I'm not talking about dumping like a tablespoon of salt on your food. I'm only talking about just adding a couple extra grains to your food or making sure you do the electrolyte drink, like I mentioned, just so you're getting in that salt, because a lot of folks will end up nauseous in the morning when on the ketosis diet because of that. So keep that in mind. Now, I was mentioning the allergic response, and it is from post-nasal drip that can be causing some morning nausea. And in a lot of cases, it's usually foods that are coming up with the acid reflux. So I usually see post-nasal drip and acid reflux happening together. If it doesn't happen together, it's often because of a gluten or a dairy allergy and excess sugar somehow thrown in there, because I've seen kind of the combination between all of them. Another biggie is looking at the nightshade foods. So tomatoes, peppers, eggplants, those guys in particular, goji berries are even in the nightshade family, which I've found that some people like to hit up the goji berries as an evening snack. So keep that in mind. So that nightshade, potatoes as well, your standard potato is going to be in that nightshade family. So if you're hitting those up big time at dinner, that could also be a reason for some postnasal drip in the morning that's got you feeling stuffy and having nausea and a little bit of headache, because that postnasal drip, meaning it's coming from your sinus. This is mucus coming down from your sinuses, dripping down your throat. Sounds disgusting, but it happens. It's more common than not. And this mucus dripping down makes you nauseous. It's just that weird feeling that the body senses that mucus coming down, and that can make you nauseous. Allergy season, also another time for folks to have more post-nasal drip and have nausea in the morning. So if you have seasonal allergies, also something to keep in mind as a possible contributor. What do you do about that? Well, I usually have folks doing something called nettles and quercetin. It's a great way to help with keeping the histamines in check. So there you have it. But really, if you combine the whole diet lifestyle thing, if you have seasonal allergies and you're hitting up a lot of gluten, wheat, corn, soy, alcohol, and the nightshade family, you've kind of given yourself every single inflammatory possibility to contribute to those seasonal allergies. And so you could compound your situation in that case. So I really do recommend making a food journal or diary, if you want to call it that, and really finding the correlation between the dinner habits and seeing if you can reduce your stuffiness and nausea in the morning by cutting out some of the inflammatory foods and just seeing how you feel. And, of course, going for some food sensitivity testing by Alcat if you suspect that you are just hitting up too many things and it's too hard to figure out what is the culprit. So there you have it. Now, stress in the morning can be another biggie and another factor of nausea. And usually the stress nausea thing is we're waking up and like our body's already primed to know that we've got to get up, run, go, go, go. And it's like already on edge. And so the body's thinking, I can't eat. Nope. Too much going on right now. I don't feel good. And so this is where we look at overnight. What have you been doing? Were you eating too many carbs overnight and causing the blood sugar to go up, go back down, and then spike back up? Because that can happen. I call it the blood sugar roller coaster. So look at your nighttime. Look at your nighttime plan and what you've been doing and relate it back. Because super stress in the morning definitely is correlated with nausea. And the way to work on that is working on stress reduction techniques before bed, going to bed and not having the screen time before bed. Just really relaxing yourself overnight. And then when you wake up, working on another stress reduction routine. And I'm not talking about half hour, hour. We're talking about like 5-10 minutes. And then kind of possibly considering some herbs to lower your cortisol levels and subsequently lower your blood sugar. And ashwagandha, an Indian herb, is really great for that, as is holy basil. So something to keep in mind there for the stress component. And I will put that in my notes for you with the holy basil and ashwagandha at drjcrossnd.com. All right. So next factor that could be affecting your nausea, sleep apnea. I am shocked how many people in my practice wake up in the morning with headaches and nausea. And usually a sign of headaches in the morning in females has to do with sleep and has to do with quality of sleep. And when I say sleep apnea, most people freak out because they're like, oh my God, I'm going to need a CPAP machine and I don't want that, so I don't want to test it. Okay, yeah, there's that. But what if we can help you to breathe better overnight and get things balanced just by figuring out, is it a food connection? Because like I said before, sometimes we have sleep apnea going along with postnasal drip. So that allergic reaction to food. Sometimes we have sleep apnea and acid reflux together. So going back to the journal, very important to look at the food and the nausea connection there. Now, the other cool thing we have in our universe, which I absolutely love, is the Fitbit. Because the Fitbit helps us to gain insight into what's happening overnight and how well you are resting. So if you have a Fitbit, this can tell you, you know, how many hours did you sleep, but also how restful was that sleep. If you notice you're restless, it might be worth it to look into the sleep apnea more specifically as a possible cause for your morning nausea, especially if you have headaches in the morning too. I usually have folks go to their primary care doc or a EENT, so ear, nose, and throat specialist, to see what's going on in the sinuses, see if they can determine that there's enough cause to look for a sleep study. Now, there are sleep studies that we always think about in terms of having to go in and sleep somewhere, being hooked up to all these wires. That's not the case all the time. A lot of times we can do home sleep studies. And there are companies who are really creative now doing home sleep studies that are not that expensive with really cool technology. So that's something to ask your primary care doc or an EENT about to get you set up with that. So keep that in mind that there are possibilities there. But I do recommend not doing it yourself. I do recommend getting into a doc to help you with the diagnosis of sleep apnea. Just know that it's a possibility. All right, so our next biggie here is hormonal imbalance causing the nausea in the morning, because of course that's what is hallmark for folks with pregnancy issues. Pregnancy issues, that sounds terrible. I don't mean it that way, but having, you know, the morning sickness associated with pregnancy, that is really the imbalance of estrogen and progesterone causing that. Now, for your individual who is not pregnant, we have to try to sleuth that out a little bit, because it's very common that estrogen being higher than progesterone causes nausea. And more often than not, that's the most common reason that I'm seeing issues with nausea, especially if it's related to a period, meaning that someone has nausea 2 weeks before the period every morning consistently, and then it goes away as soon as the period starts. It's an interesting component, but if it is estrogen, that's easy. We can work on clearing extra estrogen out of the body. And typically, clearing extra estrogen out of the body involves eating cabbage, cauliflower, broccoli, so that cabbage family, about 2 cups a day, but also can be easy taking a supplement if you wanted to, because you're just not into the cabbage, cauliflower, broccoli, and beets thing. You can do a supplement that has that concentrated stuff in there, and also working on detox and getting the gut moving. So those are options for folks in that department. Now, if you are on bioidentical hormones, so you have decided to take hormones to help replace your estrogen or progesterone, you could be too high in progesterone, causing your nausea. So that is something that if you are taking bioidentical hormones and you're noticing morning nausea or all day nausea, you've got to talk to your doc who prescribed those to you, because you could have excess progesterone, you could have excess estrogen, but usually in the case of bioidentical hormones, if you have excess estrogen, you're going to have breast tenderness associated with this. You're going to feel like you're getting a period. Or if you're not feeling any of that, and you're on bioidentical hormones, get your progesterone tested, because progesterone usually is kind of more of the sneakier one. If it's out of balance, we just feel toxic. We feel kind of puffy and bloated and nausea, but we don't have, like, our symptoms aren't as distinct as, oh, too much estrogen. So keep that in mind. Now, anti-aging skincare products sometimes have hormones in them. You got to read those labels, because that can be a big issue. The other big issue that we have is our skincare products are one thing, but also our personal hygiene products and our shampoos and our conditioners and our soaps can also have a lot of issues. And so in this case, I highly recommend looking at your personal hygiene and your cleansers in your home. And the Environmental Working Group, EWG, has great resources in this department. I mean, they talk about everything from formaldehyde to fragrances, lead, mercury, parabens, all kinds of things in that department. Sodium lauryl sulfate being issues in terms of hormone disruption and adjusting your hormones. But I will be honest, most of the time it is an estrogen excess issue. Now, Environmental Working Group Skin Deep website has over 75,000 products on there. And so highly recommend looking at their database. And it's listed on my resource notes there. And it's ewg.org/skindeep if you're looking for it. And I've also got the link in my resource notes at drjkrausnd.com. So hormones can be definitely an issue contributing to the morning or even all-day nausea for a lot of folks. And I highly recommend putting your cycle, if you're still getting your period, into that daily journal and kind of figuring out if nausea waxes and wanes for you on certain days or certain times of the cycle. So something to keep in mind. Now, in terms of the quick fix, because I always got to add in a quick fix here for folks, and I'm going to keep doing it now that I started it because I think it is kind of cool to have it there. The big quick fix of the day for morning nausea is really sipping on something such as water and eating something very small and simple. Now, what my quick fix is about 8 ounces of water, not hot water, not cold water, just room temperature water, with about a fourth of a lemon squeezed in there, and sip on that and eat some apple wedges. Now, do you eat the whole apple? I don't know. See how you feel. But the two of those are simple enough to help with the digestive system, just kind of settling it. Keep in mind that lemon is extremely detoxifying, but also helps to move the acids in the stomach. Now, a lot of folks might be thinking, well, citruses are one of those acid reflux foods. Yes. And if you have issues with acid reflux that you can feel and lemon bothers you, don't do it. But if lemon doesn't bother you, then I highly recommend doing this. The other option would be using ginger and doing a ginger tea. So you could make 8 ounces of water with 1/4 size slice of ginger, like maybe the thickness of like 1/8 of an inch. Just boil up that water, put that ginger in there while you're boiling it, and then sip on it. And then have some apple wedges. Now, if you don't want apple, simply salted rice crackers will do, because salt will also help in this case. Now, if you're not interested in eating anything in particular and you just want to sip on something, I highly recommend putting a couple grains of salt in the lemon water, and boom, off you go. That's your electrolyte drink, and that can tell you, number one, if dehydration is truly an issue for you. So there you have it with your simple fix. You could also even make, you know, mini protein shakes. You could do 8 ounces of water with 1/4 cup of ground chicken if you are doing more of the ketosis low carb diet. Even the ginger lemon combination of tea with a little, with an apple or 1/4 cup of raspberries can do the trick. So that's the quick fix there. You just got to choose your poison, and I will have the quick fix in my resource notes at drjkrausnd.com. So going back to sleuthing this out, we'll just do a recap. You got to figure out, is it a food thing? Are you overeating at dinner? Are you having acid reflux? Too many carbs at dinner? This is where you journal your nighttime habits, your meals, your snacks, and your stress. Because I want to know, are you stressing yourself out at night and then you're going to a stressful job in the morning? Is there stress at home? That could be a contributor as well. In that case, you've got to work on some stress management. And check out some of my podcasts on dealing with stress and habits to help with stress management. Now, is it an electrolyte or hydration thing? Journal is key here too. You want to be noting how much water you have. Once again, half your body weight in ounces of water a day is the minimum. You should make sure that you're at least targeting for that. Is it a blood sugar thing? Well, once again, going back to, what did you eat for dinner? What did you eat all day? Are you on a blood sugar roller coaster where you're eating carbs and you're spiking your sugar and dropping and spiking and dropping? Huge thing to pay attention to. The next is it a sleep thing? Your Fitbit can clue you into how restless you are overnight. Now, there's also heart rate variability devices out there that can help you to detect your stress and sleep connection as well, like Elite HRV. And I'll have a link to that in my resource notes as well. But EliteHRV.com is a very up-and-coming company that has some really cool tools to be able to look at heart rate variability, because heart rate variability, how well your heart can adjust to stressors, so how well your heart rate adjusts to stressors, can also give you a clue as to, okay, is the stress connected to, not the stress, but is the nausea connected to stress? So something to think about, because your vagus nerve is your main nerve. It's your longest cranial nerve. It has a lot of interactions in the body, but it is your regulator of how well you're doing with stress, and it can provoke nausea all on its own. So take a look at that. The next thing is it a hormonal thing? This is where I want you to look at all the skincare, hygiene, cleansers, all those different products that you use in your home. And EWG, so Environmental Working Group, has a great set of resources for that. And it's just ewg.org/skindeep. You can look at your cosmetic products. They also have a Dirty Dozen in terms of ingredients to look for in your household products that might be affecting your hormones. Absolutely key to check that out. And ladies, I hate to ruin it for you, but regular manicures, pedicures, our skin, our nail products are some of the most toxic items out there. So if you are working on your nails regularly, or you are going and getting manis pedis pretty often, might be something to think about in that department. So just a little side note. Now, estrogens being tested. How do you do that? Well, there's blood, but you can also use saliva. And I think the difference the difference between the blood and the saliva testing is that saliva testing shows you what's available in the body, whereas blood testing for hormones shows you only what's bound. And I like to know what's available, because there's a huge difference there. And sometimes I'll test both blood and saliva in patients if someone's really a complicated case. But estrogens tested via saliva, and the progesterone being tested via saliva, is huge. But here's the component to it. If you're going to ask your primary care doc to look at your hormones, you've got to ask for estrone, E-S-T-R-O-N-E, because that's your inflammatory estrogen that does not help you. Estradiol is an estrogen that's useful, and estriol is your weakest estrogen, but also can be useful. It helps with vaginal lubrication and things of that nature. So you want to look at those three there. Progesterone, in general, just one check there, and then testosterone too. And guys, if you are listening to this and you're like, well, I don't want to look at my breakdown of estrogens, no, you don't need to do that, but you can have estrone. And so I do think it's important for guys to look at their estrone levels, because the more body fat you have on you, the more possibilities of estrone hanging around. So something to keep in mind. Testosterone, absolutely, because testosterone's in charge of blood sugar balance. So check those out. You can use a company called ZRT Labs. They are online. I have a link to them at my podcast notes, but ZRT Labs, you can get your own tests online, test yourself via saliva, and boom, get results. And they will also be able to help you with the results and interpret them for you. So you can do that, or you can go to a functional medicine doc, or you can go to a naturopath like myself and figure it out. But for ladies who have a period, day 19 to 26 is the most reliable time to go to get things tested. So after ovulation, because you want to get the true progesterone levels. Now, if you're not having a period and you're in menopause, go anytime. And if you're taking bioidentical hormones, you should be having your hormones tested. So I highly recommend checking that out. Now, if you have done all of this and you're like, I can't figure it out, that's when you want to go see a functional medicine doc or a naturopath like myself. So a naturopathic doctor like myself, and help us, or not help us, let us help you to sleuth this out, because sometimes nausea can be complicated and just be one symptom that is compounded with others. But I highly recommend first doing your food journal, just doing some sleuthing on your own, testing out my quick tip of just sipping some water or ginger tea with lemon and eating just a little bit of something that's either a little sweet or salty to get that blood sugar up and running, and then go and eat a regular meal once you start to feel better. So you have survived another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for tuning in to The Health Fix, the podcast all about taking control of your health, rebelling against aging, and having fun every day. A lot of patients ask me, do you think I'm aging too fast? So, I created an evaluation checklist for you to see for yourself. Plus, I created a resource guide to help you slow down the aging process right now. You can find it for free on my website, drjkrausend.com. If you like this podcast, help get the word out to others by liking it and rating it. If you'd like more natural health tips and want to join our Facebook community where I interact daily, click on the Join Group button on our website at drjkrausend.com.